Welcome to the download here on WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com. It's Justin Kaufman. Is there a hotter comic on the planet right now than my next guest with his Netflix special Secret Time? Bert Kreischer is definitely trending up.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd hear your parents talking about really bad parents? Like, oh my gosh, Amy Stevens' mom was drunk dropping her off at school the other day. And you're like, whoa, how does that happen? And then you become a parent, you're like, oh, I know how that happens. I've definitely been there. Stop drinking at 3, wake up at 7 for drop-off, get in the car, you're like, whoa. Who wants to take an Uber today, huh? We can get donuts if we don't tell mom about it.
Kreischer has been bringing his brand of shirtless comedy to the masses for a while now. He had his own Comedy Central special, appearances all over late-night television, as well as hosting his own shows and a travel channel. But for Netflix, the material moves away from the partying days of his youth and more to the present-day role as dad. But make no mistake, there's still plenty of party left. Kreischer bursts on the scene when he was named by Rolling Stone magazine as the biggest partier at the biggest partying school in America at Florida State. His story became the inspiration for the film National Lampoon's Van Wilder. Bert Kreischer, that was 20 years ago. Plus, Bert Kreischer joins me now. Bert, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
No, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
There's that patented laugh. How often do you get through Chicago? I mean, to think about, obviously you've made your name partying at the biggest party school in Florida State, but how does Chicago compare?
Oh, I'm there once a year, easily. I used to go out to Schaumburg, and now I started doing the theaters in the city. So I love Chicago, man. Dude, my favorite thing in the world is what's the sandwich? Is it Al's Italian
Beef?
Yeah,
oh yeah, absolutely. That's a great place.
Dude, I love Chicago.
Let's talk about the Netflix special. This is, you are getting so much buzz from this. Congratulations on your success. This is a special that goes into somewhat uncharted territory where a lot of the material that you're talking about has to do with your family. Talk about where Secret Time comes from.
To be dead honest with you, I really had no insight on what I was writing. Like, I think maybe some comics go through and go, I think this special will be more my this special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just was writing what I was living at the time, and I guess what at the time I was living, it was just stories about my family. You know, I'm a storyteller naturally, and so whatever's happening around me at the time, that's what I'm writing. And it's interesting hearing your intro for me, because I was like, I'm very proud that you said that, but I had no foresight that is where the special was going.
It seems to be the takeaway, this idea that, you know, as you transition in your life and you get older as a stand-up comedian, you're doing more material that may resonate with more families, but at the same time, you bring that same energy and that same unique point of view to the material. Is your family cool with you being able to talk about some of the things that show up in this mature special?
It's a work in progress. I think they're fine with it. You know, my wife is kind of like set precedent and was like, you know, listen, dad tells stories and we're going to be including those stories, and you got to let it go. It's what he does for a living. But man, yesterday we were at this outlet mall and this guy recognized my daughter from my Instagram stories.
Oh, wow.
And started talking to her. My oldest started talking to her pretty aggressively, like, you know, just like, yo, what's up? And like approached her, and I walked up and he lost his mind. He was a fan. And man, I saw it in my daughter's eyes. She was like, wait, so this is reality now? Oh, this stinks.
Wow. That's like, interesting.
And people know their most intimate details, you know, like, I mean, I went on Conan and talked about their periods the other night.
Right.
No, I don't know another way to do it. And it's not, I'm not cognizantly, like, mining my life going, like, this is where I'm going. It's just what's happening in my life, and it's just what I'm talking about at the time. And it just turns out that my kids are interesting, they're bizarre, they're stupid. My oldest said, I had to tell my friends they're not allowed to watch your special. She's got like 4 best friends, and I was like, really? She's like, yeah, they can't watch it. I don't want them watching it and being affected by it at all. And I was like, wow. real good. She goes, Isla didn't tell anyone that. I was like, oh, great.
Well, I wonder, because when you watch it, and, you know, I have an 11-year-old son, and I watch it, and I do find the fearlessness in the way that you tell stories and be able to put all that out there. And then you have this experiences, like you just said, you had in the mall, or the way that your family's reacting. It's all new in the sense that, you know, this is the first time they're going to be able to give their opinion back to you, you know, to talk to you a little bit about what they feel. Do you think that may change the way that you address your family moving forward?
Oh, yeah, entirely. I guarantee my next special, everyone's like, wow, Kreischer must have gotten in trouble for his last special because he's not talking about his family at all. Like, now I am, I've never been aware professionally about what I talk about. And now it's like I wrote a joke the other night about having sex with my wife, like comparing it to milf porn and trying to draw comparisons. And in the middle of it, I was like, oh, man, my kids will see this. Like, I've never thought that in my entire life. Oh. And I think the real key now is to be able to, like, I guess the transition will be able to write stuff and go, I have to hold on to what is true to me, you know?
Yeah. It's really great to watch you and the ascension that you've had, you know, because people know you and have known you for your work for a long time, and obviously being that shirtless comic and having that party vibe. But to watch you be able to make that transition into material that might be more, I don't want to say, you know, different than what you did before, but at least, you know, more unique in the sense that you're dealing with your daughters. You know, it's fun to watch that. For you as a comic, do you find yourself at any point recognizing that maybe I got to start thinking about a different way of doing this because I'm transitioning out?
No, not even. I mean, I wish I had any foresight in life at all. I literally am a carpe diem type dude who I really honestly don't look at tomorrow. And I live in the moment. It's definitely what defines me, but it's definitely what defines all my problems in life. So, yeah. I mean, none of the bills are in my name in our house for a reason, you know?
You know, reading your story about making the transition from Florida State and getting all the notoriety early on in your career to make the trek to New York City to work in the comedy clubs in New York, take us to that space. Take us 20 years back to what you learned about the innate talent that you had to be a storyteller, but also to sort of embrace life and embrace that party, and then learn how to hone it, learn how to actually get on stage and be able to be a presence on stage. Talk about that time in New York when you were learning how to hone your craft.
I think I stepped on stage my first time with way more direction than I ended up after stepping on stage. Like, I think I was more naturally a storyteller, more close to who I am today at that moment. And I think I learned a bunch of bad habits. I saw what was happening in New York. I wanted to assimilate. I really didn't, you know, I really went in like with that expression, like wide-eyed. Like I just was like overwhelmed by the experience. It was great. It was so amazing. I mean, like, my natural personality is I love to laugh. I love to giggle. I love to have a good time. That's just it. I mean, if you watch me on stage,
yeah.
If you pull anything out of it, you're like, oh, this guy likes having a good time. And I had never seen comedy, really. And I went in and I watched the greatest comics of our generation all develop. And I watched them, I just sat in the back and I got free beer and I would just sit back and drink beer and giggle my mind off and then go and work the door. I remember laughing so hard. I remember taking, you know, everyone records their own set. I remember recording David Pell's set so I could listen to him the next day. Like I really had like a love for comedy in almost as like a fan, and the fact that I was doing it alongside these guys was mind-blowing to me. I remember my friends coming up and being like, dude, that's amazing. I think they were amazed that I was getting on stage, and I thought they were saying, that's amazing how the how good these guys are. Like, it just does like a fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'd get them into clubs and be like, can you believe I can get you into the back and we can sit in the back and we can drink free beer? And my friends from Tallahassee would be like, I can't believe you're getting on stage. I was like, screw that. Can you imagine how great David Tell is or Jim Norton or Jim Brewer or Dave Chappelle or Jay Moore or PC Benny? Or, you know, I'm just amazed.
It's something about that experience and your perception or just your persona on stage that continues. Is that just natural for you, or is that something you think about with the giggle and the laugh and being able to almost step outside of yourself to laugh at the situation? Not laugh at your jokes, but you're laughing at the situation. Sometimes how goofy it is or how, you know, unsophisticated it might be, and you're with us as the audience. Talk about how you've made that evolution to where that is a big part of your stage act.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's what you're hitting on is part of the reason I started taking my shirt off on stage. Was you'd go on the road and you would be a little depressed, or, you know, miss your family and be like, God, I have 5 shows this week. And the first time I used to do things to like cheer myself up and go like, hey, remember that you're really blessed to do this, and this is really a great time. And so I'd bring a Heineken on stage with me, sometimes 2. And the one time, I go up listening to Black Betty by Ram Jam. Mm-hmm. That song always made me, like, got my, like, it was almost like a walk-on music if you're a relief pitcher. And then one night I ripped my shirt off and it made me giggle. Like, it made me giggle. Like, I thought, how silly that you're a stand-up comic and you're taking your shirt off. No one would ever do this. Like, this is the dumbest thing in the world. And then I would do that, and I did that over and over again for, like, you know, what, maybe, like, 6 months or a year. And then one night in Columbus, I ripped it off, and I kept it off, and I kept doing my whole show. And then halfway through, I was like, oh, I got to put my shirt back on. And this woman was like, keep it off. And in a weird way, it was like, it was almost just a way to kind of, like, cheer myself up and embrace being silly and embrace the fact that it's just comedy. It's not, you're not doing anything more than making people laugh. It's, that's it. That's all it is. And, I don't know. I love being on stage, and I write a lot on stage. So even when I'm on, even in the special, I wrote like 2 jokes inside that special on stage.
Wow.
And when you come up with a joke, man, if you don't laugh when you come up with a funny idea, then you're dead inside. I remember the first time I ever came up with a funny idea, and I started giggling to myself. I was in college, and I thought I was crazy because I'd never laughed. I'd never, like, made myself laugh. I just would laugh, but I never, like, had come up with a thought. And then I went, oh, my God, how amazing. You can come up with thoughts and make yourself laugh. I was like, this is almost like masturbating. Like, this is like you can make yourself happy. And I was blown away. It was the dumbest idea in the world. But anyway, my point is I try to stay in the moment and enjoy it with them, and if that's just the way it works for me.
You know, for you to have the success, to have people talking about your special, to have it be such a success on Netflix, what does that mean for you? I mean, to be in the present, to be in the moment, to have something you created and to have it having success right now, how special is that?
I don't really think about it entirely. You know, it's still a job. So, you know, I look at it and I go, if I can make this, if this special can increase my business, this is going to sound really not me when I say this, but this is the pragmatic view of it. You're like, if this special can increase my business by like 10%, then I'm good. Like, then I'm happy.
Right.
You know, if all the special does is it makes the people that know me and are fans of me and come out to see me, if it makes them go, oh, how cool, he wrote a brand new hour of material. Oh, he's taking another hour out on the road. Oh, he's still writing. Oh, cool, I want to go see him now. That's all I care about. If this increases my business and we get to add a show on Thursdays, then, oh, my God, that's like through the roof amazing. You know, you remember, like, I've been in the business for 20 years,
yeah, right,
almost. It's coming up 20 years in November. And so I've been failing my entire career. Like, I've been, you know, not successful for like a long time. So any bit of success, you it's like almost like survivor's remorse. You're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, imagine being kept in a boat, swept out to sea, and it rains. And you're like, oh, nice. And it's and there's no thunder and lightning. It's just a rainstorm. And you're like, oh, how badass is this? That's the way I look at this special. It's like, oh, it's just cool. It's raining. The boat's not flooding, but I can drink fresh water.
There you go.
For the next year. That's all.
Well, then, I just think that...
And if Netflix likes it enough to give me another one, then that's what
I think. But I think that that's really great about this special, and it is giving you an opportunity for a lot of fans of people who may not go out to stand-up showcases or may not know every stand-up or people working comedians. It's giving you a platform for a lot of people who have not seen your work to see your work. And that to me, when you talk about the 10%, that resonates because that truly is something that over a 20-year career you deserve.
Yeah, that it's bizarre, too. You don't realize how many people have Netflix. I mean, like, you know, before this, people would find me off of, like, Rogan's podcast or my podcast or Travel Channel. And now it's everyone who has Netflix. I was getting a drink last night at the airport in LAX. And a young Mexican woman and a young black kid who are stereotypically not my demographic. I walked in and they lost their mind. And they're like, oh, my God. And they had never heard the Machine story. And I was like, wait. I go, hold on, you know me from my special? And they're like, yeah, we just saw it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's
we
crazy.
We were watching it, and I was watching it on my break, and I brought him in, and he started watching it, and we were laughing hysterically. And I was like, wait, you got to watch The Machine. It's so much better than my special. And they're like, wait, what's The Machine? And I was like, oh, my God, this is bizarre.
And then you did it. That is bizarre.
Oh, yeah, you know I did it
exactly.
At the bar.
I love it.
When I was 23, I got involved with the Russian Mafia. Here's how it happened.
Yeah, right. I love it. But that's to be. The Netflix special is called Secret Time. Burt Kreischer is the stand-up who is just having a tremendous amount of success right now. Burt, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us, and congratulations, and we look forward to more.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it.